Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Day by Day, a radio show designed to address daily life issues, as well as covering informational, educational, yet inspirational topics that are sure to lighten the heavy loads in your life. Your host, Minister Lakiba Wallace, is a profiled author, sought-after radio television personality, and a reputable realtor. Having survived breast cancer has birthed a passion to empower people about health, wellness, and the power of God's love. So whether working in the office or driving in your car, inhale, exhale, and relax, because your rest is not too far. Just position one foot in front of the other by faith. Then you'll experience the wonders of living day by day. Now introducing your host, Minister Lakiba Wallace.
What's up, y'all? What's up? Thank you for tuning in to Living Day by Day. I am your boy, Preach Elder Brown, and you know we are online now. We are live, so if you're hearing us, we're live, and we are kicking in your speakers. Definitely, we have a wonderful, powerful show on today. And, yes, you're hearing my voice. Lakiba is here. Absolutely. I just want to let you guys know you're listening to Living Day by Day radio show, and we have a phenomenal show on today. And, listen, whatever you're doing, let me tell you right now, you need to stop, tune in, listen, kick back, relax, because we are going heavy on today. We have none other with us in the studio and here with us, Pastor Nikki Candy Ministries. Thank you for joining us. How are you, Pastor?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
All right. Lakiba.
Well, what's up, Radio Land out there? Y'all know I always sometimes just got to take a back seat and let Elder Brown drive. Y'all know I'm transparent. We were talking a little bit before the show was airing, and I said, hey, you know, the keys are yours today. But y'all know a sister don't give up the keys very often. So I thank all of you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of the Living Day by Day show. You know, I like to call it the LDBD. I'm excited about what God is doing today. No matter what the devil does, no matter what the devil says, you know that God is in control and God is going to get the glory. Y'all know I have to always give you an inspiration moment. You cannot give a cancer survivor the opportunity to say something and you ain't going to hear something. Amen. So I'm excited.
Amen.
Y'all know I can preach up in here because I'm truly thankful that God reached way down and pulled the cancer out of my body. So I won't shut up about it. But today it is not about me, but it's about this powerful, anointed, amazing, beautiful, I like to call it the boss Christian chick. Not other than Pastor Nikki Pullins Kennedy is on the line today. And so we're excited to have the opportunity to interview her. God is doing amazing things. She needs no introduction whatsoever. Doing amazing things in the body of Christ. And so we're going to dance a little bit, if you will, and just give her the opportunity to tell the listeners of the Living Day by Day show, all of you out there, the new listeners as well. We're going to give Pastor Kennedy an opportunity to tell the listeners who she is.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be a part of Living Day by Day broadcast. My name is Pastor Nikki Kennedy. I'm born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida. I moved here in June of 2008, where my husband and I founded the ministry, Harvest Springs Ministry. We've just celebrated 7 years in ministries, and it has been an awesome journey. Since founding the ministry together, my husband transitioned from earth to heaven in November of last year, 2014. So now I carry the ministry along with my four beautiful kids and one granddaughter and those that have stayed in the race with us, those members of Harvest Springs Ministry. We continue to carry the torch that was given to us, and it's been an amazing journey.
Oh, that's wonderful. Awesome. That's wonderful. Yes.
You go ahead,
preacher.
Pastor.
Preacher.
Yeah, preacher, right.
I got to get in here. I mean, man, y'all done ditch your talk. You know, you talk about the shoes and the nails, but now I got to talk about these preachers.
Okay.
I'm just having some fun. But y'all heard, she's a teacher. She's a preacher, serving, mother. Oh, I mean, she's doing it big. Also an author as well. Tell us about those great things that God is doing in your life.
The book that I just released was released November the 8th. However, my husband and I, we were married 22 years before he transitioned. So in the book, you'll find a lot of things that we went through together as a couple. So we talked about some of the things that we were going to write together as a couple. However, I just continued it on by myself. However, the reviews have been awesome. We talk about the beginning of how we met. We talk about some of the struggles of marriage and some of the victories in marriage. I also talk a little bit about my husband and during his times where he would be ill and all the way up into his transition. So I talk a little bit about, you know, when I was going through the process of losing him after his transition, I began to go to bookstores and researching different readings on grief. Because a lot of times, you know, you ask people about, you know, should I get counseling? Should I take some courses? And the saints will tell you, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. You know, you don't need any grief classes. You know, God is all you need. And, you know, and I'm so grateful that I have a mind, and I had a mind to reach out to get what I needed for me and my kids. And I didn't just listen to that, you know, because her church people will have you thinking that you're supposed to be super all the time, and there's no moment for you to grieve, no moment for you to be transparent or for you to release yourself. And so in this book, I talk about my grief process and how, although I'm a preacher, a teacher, a pastor, anointed, fire, baptized, all that, there are moments that I didn't want to do anything. There are moments that I didn't want anybody to preach to me. I didn't want to talk to anybody. You know, and I've been in this book. I was as transparent can get, because I wanted people to know when you're going through grief, you have to be around those that have the power to bring you out. Those that have
Say
the
that
power.
Again.
To, yeah,
wow.
You got to be around the right people, or you will
right.
you will sink in that grief and you won't come out. I know some people that have lost their spouses, and they have 6 months off, or they had a year off. They had some time off that they were able to regroup. But that wasn't my path. That wasn't my prescribed plan that God had given me for my life. I believe that my continuation in ministry was my strength.
Wow.
I believe that, you know, as I continue to preach and teach the word of God, the stronger I got day by day, the more liberated I became day by day. I saw each time that I graced the pulpit, more strength be poured upon me. I didn't have any time off. The only time I had off was actually the Sunday after his transition. We had his home going, and like 2 weeks later, I was right back in the pulpit. And some may say, well, you know, I never had a time, any time to greet. I would beg to differ. There were moments, even after preaching a Holy Ghost-filled word where the church and everybody was liberated, there was those moments that I would go in my office and just cry my eyes out, or I would drive home and cry my eyes out, not, you know, feeling like, yeah, you know, everybody's strengthened, but here I am, you know, left to put the pieces back together. But I can say right now that I'm in the best place that I could ever be in. I was prepared for this. My husband was the best coach that I could have ever had. He trained me. He pushed me for the past 2 years before his transition, and I thought it was just preparing me to become, you know, senior pastor, as he had talked about. But it was because he knew what was coming, and I needed to be ready. And so although some of the things that I didn't see in ministry, I've seen with the magnifying glass. Over the past 12 months, I've seen stuff that I never thought that I would see in ministry. But nothing that I've seen have made me want to give up. There's nothing that I've experienced that made me want to turn back and say, God, it's too much. I can't do this. There's nothing that I've experienced over the past 12 months that can compare to the grace and the strength that God has given me.
And when you deal with what you're saying, which is so powerful, and I hope, you know, I hope everyone is listening to this and they're catching on to this, because when you're talking about birthing, you're talking about preparation, you're talking about getting ready, you're talking about getting to that point where just like in a you know, pregnancy, when you're pregnant and you're getting ready to deliver, you know, they have to, you know, they have to prep you, they have to put you through, you know, they put you through medicine and all the things that they do. To get you ready for that birthing process. But see, what I understand that the birthing process is the process prior to getting to the delivery room, because when you get to the delivery room, the only thing that's going to happen there is maybe some minimum coaching and pushing. You're pushing out what that already has been birthed, so it's already there. It's already present. It's already finesse. It's there already. It has now came to fruition. So when you talk about birthing God's purpose, and you're talking to people right now that are in Africa, people that are listening in Chicago, people that are, you know, listening in Jamaica right now, and they're here, you talk about the birthing of God's purpose. Can you talk a little bit more about where I noticed on your website it says the event, the one event when you rather be in the delivery room than the waiting room. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit? Because I love that.
We just had a every year, well, not every year, every other year, God has given me a strategy to have our women's conference every other year instead of every year. We choose every other year because it will build up the momentum for the following year and give us time to properly prepare for those to come. And so the Birthing God's Purpose Conference is just a movement of different women or even men. One thing that God has given me for 2017 is this one, we will have male speakers. And because there are men that have purpose that needs to be birthed as well. It's not just always women to birth, because, yes, you can have some spiritual mothers that can birth some spiritual sons, but there's nothing like a spiritual father birthing a spiritual son. And so 2017, we will have male speakers, bishops, pastors, apostles that will bring forth the word. So the movement, we said, you should be in the birthing room, because there is something that's on the inside of all of us. The Bible declares that before God formed us, that he knew us. He knew what we were going to become. Even before I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, as a sinner, you know, not even knowing who he was, I knew of him. I knew about him. Because of, you know, grandparents and family members that attend ministries, however, but I did not know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. But even when I didn't know him, he knew who I was. He knew that December 2015 that I was going to be carrying a ministry and pushing other people forth in ministry with my pain that was birthed forth. My purpose is to push those in ministry, push those that have lost their way, push those that said, you know, I've been through so much. I've dropped the ball so many times. I've disappointed so many. God doesn't want to use me. There's nothing that he can get from me because I failed so much. My assignment is to push you beyond your failure, push you beyond what you've come up against, and so that when the purpose is fulfilled, you will see the manifestation that God put in you from the foundations of the earth.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. And I'm amazed at this because, you know, I don't want to tell on you know, this special event that's coming up, but very few women that are hosting and putting together a women's conference would have men there on the roster to preach or to minister. I know someone, and we've been in dialogue, and I'm not, you know, I'm not sure if we want to let that out the cat. Let it out the hat yet. I'm getting tongue-tied with it because it's powerful. But to have a man on the roster, a preacher on the roster to speak at a women's conference, that defies the odds. It slaps the devil in the face. It slaps a lot of these deep folk in the face because they don't understand that. Did I say that out loud? I was thinking that, not saying that. Because we have to understand that ministry has now changed, has changed hands, it has changed focus. The mantle has now been laid, and, you know, when people look at, well, you know, women preachers, and, you know, I'm a preacher, and I know that God calls women preacher, he calls men preacher, he calls kids, and I know this is a whole other element of what I'm talking about, but I'm speaking on, you know, something so powerful. And I think that what God has given you regarding this birthing, this birthing purpose is it's so powerful and it's so prevalent for this season and the season to come. And I really, really commend you as a colleague in ministry with everything that you've, you know, mentioned already with the transition of your husband and still holding on and still giving the devil black eyes. You know what I mean? I give you a high five right now, and I hope you catch it right now.
But it's I caught it.
Yeah, it's amazing. She's doing a wonderful job, and we thank the Lord for her.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. And even through the transition of, you know, a lot of people, and something you said, Pastor Brown, with this new day and age, a lot of people are not too fond of female pastors. You know, they're really not. They will support a male and female pastoral team, but to is very rare for a female pastor to carry a ministry full of men. And so I'm not discouraged by that one bit. I know what God has given me to do, and I'm just going to continue to fulfill the purpose that he's placed on the inside of me to those that will come. You know, you can sometimes you can get discouraged because during my husband's transition, of course, we lost some people. We lost some people along the way, and you can look at that as a bad thing. You can say, well, oh, my God, some of the people have left during the most difficult season of my life. Why did they leave? They know that I need the support. But you can also look at it as, well, praise God. You know, God made it, you know, if they left, they wasn't a part, you know, and God would keep those there that are supposed to be. He would send those there that are supposed to be there to continue what he's placed on the inside of you. I do understand I can have a vision all day long, but without the people, the vision perish. And so my job is not to worry about those that have came and those that have left. My job is to continue to fulfill the purpose.
And you're doing exactly that. You're doing exactly that.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I'm just enjoying. I feel like getting some popcorn. I'm just really enjoying the dialogue, Pastor Nikki, between you and Elder Brown. And I was reading your bio, and you were really speaking about, you know, when your husband transitioned, you had to step up. There really wasn't time for you, you know, to just sit and say, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Even though you might have had your moments, you were ready. And I want you to talk a little bit about how a first lady or just a lady, period, can really be in sync to hear their husband's voice. Because sometimes you might feel as a first lady that your husband is pushing you and pressuring you to be out front. You might not want to be out front, but not knowing then that the pushing, being in the labor room, was preparing you to be able to deliver, thank you, Holy Ghost, to be able to deliver the ministry and the calling that's on your life right now so strong. So talk from that angle how a young lady can really position herself to be able to, and I'm transparent, to, you know, be quiet and hear mm-hmm. what her husband is saying, so she will be able to carry that which God has birthed in him, but for you now to be able to deliver that.
Right. Because I would say, you know, we started July 2008, but in 2012 is when my husband had a stroke. And so when he had a stroke, it was me. You know, I had to step up to the plate. And during that time is when it's like I was okay for years, even before we moved here and he was preaching different places, had different engagements. I was happy sitting in the amen corner. And I tell him, you're going to hear my amen before you hear anybody else's. I will be your biggest cheerleader. I was comfortable in that place. But there was something that he saw on the inside of me that I didn't see in myself. And a lot of times, first ladies that have husbands that are in ministries, you know, I've heard a lot of first ladies say, well, that's his church. Those are his members. I'm just here. You know, and if your husband is beckoning you or pulling you and he sees something that God hasn't given you privy to see yet, and you just have to trust the trainer. You know, you got to trust who God is giving you. You know, and a lot of times I tell, you know, women, you know, it's okay. You know, we believe our husbands for this and we believe that they're hearing for God from that. But when it comes to pushing us out of our comfort zone, oh, we want to challenge that they're hearing from God. So I didn't challenge that he was hearing from God in regards to pushing me forward, but I would say I was very uncomfortable because, at first I was like, well, I don't know all the scriptures like you do. I don't know everything like you do. But what it did, it prompted me to get into my word more. It prompted me to read more, to study more, to crucify my flesh more, to go on fasts when he didn't even call them. You know, just go on my own individual fast. God, I need to hear from you. God, what is it that I need to be doing? God, how can I properly support him and this ministry without getting frustrated during the process? And see, what happens is they get frustrated with the process because a lot of women, and this is the major problem, a lot of women like to measure themselves up with the next first lady or the next pastor's wife. Your anointing is not her anointing. Your calling is not her calling. Whatever God is giving your husband, your pastor, to groom you through during that time, that's what he's anointed you to do, not no one else. And so sometimes women, they begin to look at each other's progress and get frustrated because of where they are. They may feel that I'm not ahead, or I'm not doing as much as she's doing. So they get frustrated and they want to draw back. But you may be in your summer season, and this sister may be in her winter season, but seasons change. And you may not stay in that season for long. They change, but while you're in your season, learn what you need to learn from the trainer. The trainer meaning your husband. The trainer meaning the voice of the Lord. And Minister Lakiba, you said something about being quiet while being trained. You know, a lot of times men, I've seen that they take time and they get frustrated. And my husband and I have had to counsel some couples because some of the women, as soon as they get trained, and as soon as they get a few engagements, a little anointing on their life, now they're running the husband. They're calling the shots. And they're the pastor, and he's in the back seat. And so that's one thing that I never had a problem with. I was always slow to speak and quick to listen. I studied James 1, and I studied that scripture over and over because I never wanted to have a territorial takeover spirit, and because although he has given me the keys, although he has given me the go-ahead, I am not the pastor.
And I know, Elder Brown, you just waiting to jump in, but I have got to ask this question here to Pastor Nick. What would you say to the women out there who are listening to this show right now and who will listen to it forthcoming? How do they stop comparing? Because a lot of women won't be transparent and say, you know, I'm looking at Pastor Nikki and I like where she is and I'm not there, so I'm a little intimidated. Or I've gone to a women's conference and Pastor Nikki know how to shut it down. I can preach. I might not preach like that.
And so there's always this level of comparing. I don't know where that came from in the body of Christ, but it's always this level of comparing, even from a dress standpoint. You know, you got to look better than the other sister, when that's not really what it's all about. So we're going to be transparent here on the Living Day by Day show and be able to help somebody get over that. How do they transition, they being a woman, transition from always comparing themselves to, I want to preach like this person, or I want to, you know, I want to do the announcements like this. Just be who you are. But there are a large group of women who won't come forth because they feel like they have to be like somebody else.
Right. One thing that I would say, and one thing that got me from behind that shell, because like I told you guys earlier, I was comfortable with just being the number one cheerleader. I didn't have to preach. I didn't have to teach, because I, too, experienced that. I can't preach like that. I can't teach like that, you know. So I was intimidated. Yes, I was, because of what I saw. But what got me to the place that I am now is prayer. Getting before God and letting God show you who you are. You have an individual anointing that no one can beat you being you. You may not preach or teach like this person, but there's an anointing on your life that can only reach a certain level of people. That your sister that you're despising, that sister that you're envying, that sister that you're jealous of can reach, because the anointing that's on your life. So once you come into your own and you identify with who you are for real, that's when you can really, really fulfill the purpose that God has put on the inside of you. You may can't pack out of a stadium right now because your name is not in the wind. Nobody knows who you are. You on the backside of the desert. Nobody even knows you exist. So, of course, you may not be able to pack out of a stadium or auditorium. But what you can do at your level, do it at 100%. Do what you can on the level that you can do it at, amen, and do it, amen, with the grace of God and excellence. And that's what I learned. I learned along the way. I would take nuggets from different people that I was inspired by. I would take nuggets from them, and if I couldn't do it at a $1,000 level, maybe I can do it at a $500 level. But whatever level I can do it on, you best to believe it's going to be the spirit of excellence. And so this is what women need to do. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to be envious. You can glean from one another, but do what you can do on the level that you can do it in the spirit of excellence, and always stay before the Lord. So even in times after you excel and after you people know your name, you've got a few engagements and some people are calling on you now, even after that, you still may run into something that you may feel in your heart, you know, oh, my God, I wish I was doing this. I wish I had that. When you feel that, you need to get right back on your face. God, take this out of me. I don't want to be jealous of my sister. I don't want to be envious of my sister, because let me tell you something. You don't want to be jealous of people when you don't know what they had to go through to get the anointing on their life. You know, they can say all day long, you know, I want to, you know, Pastor Nikki, she's anointed. I want to be like that. But you don't want to go through a season of drought. You don't want to go through a season where your life is exposed and all of the mistakes you've made has been exposed and everybody know all about it. You don't want to go through that. You just want the anointing. You don't want the pain. Everybody wants a beautiful baby. They want a birth, but you want to skip delivery. There's no way you're going to be able to have something as anointed and powerful without the process of pain.
Oh, my God. Listen, if you have just joined us, you're listening to the Living Day by Day radio show. And our guest is phenomenal. If you just joined in, you just got to listen to this. Pastor Nikki Pullins Kennedy has been slaying this word. And I tell you, this is Preach Ella Brown Preach, and Lakeeba Wallace, she's with us. And I am so amazed at what has gone forth so far. I want to kind of jump in on that. I want to be like spirit, because that spirit is a very, very dangerous spirit. I remember growing up in the city of Chicago, and, you know, the Bulls and, you know, the whole nine yards with the Michael Jordan era. And I was never one of those kids, and I don't know if my mother's online tonight, so if she does hear this, Mom, I love you, but I got to say this. We never had Jordans in our house, but I didn't feel like I was, you know, a castaway because we didn't have Jordans. We had the best of everything else, but we didn't have, you know, number 23 Jordans. We didn't have none of that. And the way my mom, you know, the way she raised us, she said, if you want something that's past her budget, she said, you go out there and you get it yourself. And, you know, but I want to talk about that era because I remember when I would go to class and I would see the kids, I would see the little girls and the other guys or whatever have on, you know, the Michael Jordan shoes, and I would look. And they will get on the basketball court, and they will kind of walk like him and try to talk like him. And some people even shave their head off like Michael Jordan. And I'm not throwing shade, but I'm throwing some real here because people started to say, you know, I could be like Mike because I'm wearing these shoes. And then they came out with a movie, Be Like Mike, with I believe Bow Wow played in that movie, if I'm not mistaken, and it was the shoes, and the shoes did this, and the shoes did that. That spirit of I want to be like comes from a very lowly place within someone who is lost, who does not know their identity. Because if you know your identity, there's no way green eggs, ham, and cheese, I just said that, there's no way green eggs, ham, and cheese, you would take your powerful, profound identity that God has given you, your rare look, your rare eye color, your rare gap between your teeth, your rare big lips, your rare big forehead, your rare, you know, whatever God has given you, that's your identity. And we've gotten to this point that we want to be like other people. And it's sad that not only does the world embrace the I want to be like, but even in the church, we've gotten to this point where we want to be like this person. We want to be like that person and not understand, as Pastor Nikki has already said, not understand what you have to go through to be that person. I was in Wisconsin at a Church of God in Christ convocation under the leadership of Bishop Cedric Daniels. And Bishop Daryl Hines got to the microphone, and he began to talk about how a young man was so inspired by Bishop Daryl Hines' life. And this young man began to tell the bishop, you know, the bishop was talking to him, but he kept saying, Bishop, I want to be just like you. Bishop Hines, I want to be like you. I want to be like you so bad. I want to be like you so bad. And Bishop Hines said that he was in a conversation, and he stopped the young man and said, do you really want to be like me? And the young man said, yes, Bishop Hines, I just adore you. I want to be just like you. And Bishop Hines said, he paused for a moment, and he said to him, well, let us pray. And he said the young man got so excited that Bishop Daryl Hines, the phenomenal singer, the book writer, the preacher, the teacher, you know, the philanthropist, all over the world, you know, churches, is getting ready to pray, you know, Lord, you know, I'm finna be like him. And he said this young man began to get so excited. I hope y'all listening to this. And he said that Bishop Hines began to pray. And as he began to pray, he said, Lord, I thank you for this young man. And the young man said, yeah. Lord, I thank you for his life. And the young man began to get excited. Yes, God. And Bishop Hines changed the prayer and said, Lord, I want you to strike him down with lightning. Lord, I want his heart to stop for 1 hour. Lord, I want them to pronounce him dead. He said, whoa. Bishop, what are you doing? He said, you want to be like me, right? He said, yeah, but you're talking about being struck down by lightning, because that's Bishop Hines' testimony, that he was struck down by lightning and he had died for 1 hour. They pronounced him dead. And, you know, they toe-tagged him. And so this is his testimony, that he was struck down by lightning, but God raised him. So this young man began to say, well, whoa, I don't want to be struck down by lightning. Listen, Radio right. Land, you got to understand, when you're looking at somebody, my God, and you don't understand the anointing that's on their life. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what a life obstacle that they had to go through. And just as your book is so powerful, you don't understand the birthing process of what they have been through. You cannot say that you want to be like them, because if you want to be like Pastor Nikki, if you want to be like Elder Kiba Wallace, if you want to be like Preach Elder Brown, if you want to be like Michael Jordan, who lost his father, if you want to be like Bishop Daryl Hines, who was struck down by lightning, you got to understand that if you want to be like somebody else and you're losing your identity by watching them, you got to understand that you need to be, you will get everything that that person has went through to be who they are. So you have to be careful to say that. What God has done for you, Pastor Nick, is that he has allowed you to go through those situations so that you can be able to come out and pull some people out, because there are people listening right now, and I know that there's a sister online right now that's listening. I know there's a brother online that's listening right now, and they cannot believe how someone of your magnitude can experience what you have experienced and then immediately back in the pulpit preaching, experience what you have experienced and write a book, experience what you've experienced and still able to be a loving mother, a loving sister, a loving auntie. So it's powerful that, you know, when God gives you an identity and you know your identity, my God, I'm about to do a flip, I'm telling you. Lakeeba, get me. When you know your identity, no one can come and tell you about your birthright. When you your identity, there is no one that can come tell you about your birthright. They can't tell you your Social Security is wrong. They can't tell you your birth certificate is wrong. It's like Joseph. Joseph knew his identity. He knew, oh, my, they're going to turn me in. They're going to do what they got to do. But guess what? You throw me in this pit, God is going to release me. He's going to pull me down. Let me get off this microphone. Let people get me.
Wow. You know what? I think we can pass the offering plate right now in the name of Jesus. So it's collection time. But Pastor Nikki, I want to take a turn and talk about your church. I want to, you know, talk about, you know, there may be somebody out there listening that want to connect. I know you're all about building and all about enhancing the body of Christ. So tell us a little bit about the church that God has gifted you with.
Again, like I said earlier, we founded it in July 2008. We started at a hotel, and the ministry began to grow rapidly. We moved from there to one of our buildings in Stockbridge, North Henry Boulevard, and we stayed there for some time. And then we moved on to another building where we started a daycare in that church facility as well. It is the vision and the heart of us to do a daycare as well as ministry and everything. And when we got sick, we had to do away with the daycare and, yes, still continue ministry. So right now we have been at this place that we're in for 2 years. And, again, like I said earlier, because of his transition, and we did lose some people. So now we're in our rebuilding stage. And the awesome thing about the rebuilding stage I love about it is that you have new people that are coming in with the mindset to, okay, Pastor, what is the vision? Okay, Pastor, what is it that we're going to do? Where are we going? What are we doing? And they're open to the vision versus having some people that, you know, you can have the older people that are set in their ways and used to things being the way it was with our former leader. So this is not the way Pastor Adrian did it, and we don't like the way she's doing it. So I'm thankful that I don't have those problems. Honestly, I don't. I have God has given me to shepherd a good group of people that are ready to run with the vision. And that makes the job so much more easier. It makes preaching and teaching easy. It makes me wanting to come and give God and them my best, my 100% best, because they're ready. They're ready to receive it. And so, again, like I said, we just celebrated 7 years of ministry, and I'm just excited to see what God is getting ready to do. My ears are open, my eyes are open, and I'm ready to hear and receive and obey him, because there are people that God is sending that are waiting on answers. They're waiting on me to give an authentic word from God. They're not waiting on me to just come in and give them a couple of stories that I heard or a couple of stories that I saw on TVN. They want the real, authentic truth from the Word of God. And so with that being said, I'm doing everything to continue to further my education. I'm currently attending Liberty University to further my education in religion. I do believe that God can give you an anointing to carry a ministry, but how serious are you about the call on your life? You know, you can be a hairstylist, and you could have been gifted to do hair. You could be a barber. You could be gifted to cut hair. But if you never went and got licensed for it, you can't receive the maximum of what your gift can bring forth. And so that's how I look at the call of God on my life. I don't want to just go by what I've studied over the years and what I've learned through teaching and training. I want to take those things that I've learned over the years, mix it with the word, mix it with faith, as well as a continuation in my education for ministry.
Awesome. That's so very well said. And I want to allude back to what you were conveying about earlier about the conference that God has given you and how you do that every other year. And so talk a little bit about, I know you just did one in 2015 just a little while ago, and you had an awesome lineup, one of which was my amazing First Lady, Lerona Phelps. So God is doing an amazing things. So talk a little bit about how the conference formed, what your supporters, I'm sure you have a lot because we have a lot of people that is in the chat room and that's online. So talk a little bit about what you can expect for the conference that's forthcoming, not in 2016, but in 2017.
Oh, my God, 2017, I can't even rest just thinking about it. See, you don't, you know, you ever heard, I don't know if you ever heard of a saying where it can take months and months to prepare for something that would only take place for a day or two. And so I can't start planning for 2017 next year. We are already in the preparation stages of preparing for 2017. It's going to be different. Again, like I said earlier, we had all of the lineups have been women. The first one that we had in 2013, as well as the one we just had. The one that I just had, I kind of strategically allowed the Lord to lead me to use people that have went through a painful birthing process, such as myself. And oh, my God, the anointing on each one of the speakers was just what God has showed me that it would be. You can have different doctors, but every doctor has a different tool that they may use to get the job done. And so in 2017, I'm looking forward to the men bringing forth deliverance to the sons that need a birthing. You said earlier, Pastor Brown, that there's stuff that's already on the inside that just needs to be birthed. And so I believe some of these pastors and bishops that need to take time to birth these sons, they are sitting there. It's almost like a gallon of milk that's been in the refrigerator.
Wow.
And because it hasn't been used, it becomes full. And so when it becomes full, you can't use it. You have to pull it out. Or if you can have a bag of onions that you never even cut up, and you may have a few that are still good, but if the two bad ones in there, they'll end up causing the rest of them to go bad. So that's why you have a lot of comparisonitis in the body of Christ. You know, you're comparing yourself to this person, this preacher, or this teacher, because you're sitting and you're getting full. You're getting sour.
Wow.
You're not producing what's on the inside. So I'm looking forward to these men to birth some of these spiritual sons forth, not just necessarily saying birthing them into pastorship. A lot of times I think that leaders are intimidated by sharpening what's on the inside of their sons and daughters in fear of them doing, leaving them and doing better than them. But you're not a true leader if you're not multiplying.
Ooh,
you're not a true leader if you're I mean, you have to see, there has to be some sense of growth if you're a true leader. And so this is what I want to see in 2017. I want to see those that have already been birthed forth in 2016 to now come back and say, okay, now I have some sons with me and these guys need to be sharpened and here's some workshops. We're going to do a lot of different things that we didn't do the past 2 years. And so I don't want to give too much of it away, but just know that it's going to be worth the wait.
Wow. I tell you, I'm like, we should have probably scheduled this to be 2 hours. Everybody's in the chat room. We have a question for you, Pastor Nikki.
Sure.
And that
sure.
question is, we have just about 12 minutes before. It don't even seem like we've been on the line that long, but there is a guest that's in the chat room, and she would like to know, how do you continue, in just about 2 minutes or so, how do you continue to seek God when all around us seem to be saying no?
Listen, what you can do, I'm going to say this really quick. I don't know if you have a church home. If you do, there's nothing wrong with you getting literature or tools that will further your deliverance. I've just been in the series for the past 3 weeks, and the topic of the message was what to do when you don't know why. And it deals with, you know, these different areas. You don't know how to keep going on. Well, the more that you spend time with God, I'm telling you, it may sound cliche-ish. It may sound like, oh, people always say stay in prayer. But I'm telling you, it has been me being in the presence of God that has kept my mind, that has kept me going forth, as well as those that are connected to me that saying that, hey, I'm covering you in prayer. Hey, I support what you're doing. So you need to connect yourself with a faith fire baptized believing ministry, get you some word that will ignite your faith, that will give you that extra strength to go on and connect with people that can sharpen you, not make you feel like you're going through what you're supposed to be going through just because. So I hope they help you.
Wow.
Awesome.
And you know we like to tag team, but we ain't got enough time to tag team, you know, like I wanna say something, but what a very powerful response. I think there's really nothing else to say. That was definitely well said. I want to talk about your book. We did have a little bit of conversation earlier, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that, you know, may want to, you know, that will get a copy of your book, want to know how they can get a copy of your book. So first of all, take a couple seconds to talk about the intro of your book, the meat of your book, if you will.
Okay, I will say this. There's a portion in it on the back. It says, "Before you see your greatest days, you must overcome your darkest night. No one wants pain. No one wants heartbreak. No one wants the experience great loss. But grieving, but giving birth is always a painful process."
And if someone would like to get a copy of your book, how will they be able to do that? Are you still with us, Pastor Nikki? I think we lost her. My God. Yeah, I see her call has dropped. We hope that she chimes back into the show. But what a powerful, powerful show.
Wow.
I tell you, Elder Brown, I really don't know what else to say. Like, you know, what an amazing guest for the show tonight.
I mean, I'm telling you, like, I'm still in awe, and, you know, we're getting a lot of good feedback that, you know, people are chiming in, and they're wanting to hear, you know, a good sound word. And it's, I mean, you know, this season, I mean, we're going into a whole new season. And she mentioned something that is so powerful, and I hope that, you know, the Living Day by Day listening audience heard her. They're already planning for 2017. Today, already. And I hope that gives someone some idea to know that, you know, when we're in ministry, you know, it takes a lot of planning process, and God wakes us up, you know, in the wee earlies of the morning and gives us something for the people. We don't just pull this stuff off our shoulder. You know, we don't, you know, we're not, you know, grabbing stuff from old files. God is giving us messengers and placing, you know, the mandate, the mantle on our life to be able to go out and to minister to people. And it's so powerful to hear her say that they're working on that now for 2017. And then also having a conference that's going to have men there, you know. I thank the Lord for that because that's confirmation. I've never been a part of a women's conference as far as being a speaker. I've been to women's conferences or so, but even to the fact to hear her say that she will have men there, it just makes me feel great as well because I will be, you know, one of your guests preaching and ministering at, you know, your women's conference as well. So that shows people, and I hope people are listening, it shows that, you know, God's not playing. He's taking us to that next level.
Amen. Right. And I think you have Pastor Nikki back on the phone. I got that message. Boy, I felt that urgency. Get me back on. You know, that I will tell you the response that you gave the young lady in the chat room. It was very, very helpful to her. So I thank her so much for asking that question. And I thank you, Pastor Nikki, for allowing God to be able to lead you to be able to respond to her. So I hate to say it. Oh, my God, I hate to say it. We have just about 6 or 7 minutes before this show comes to a close. But I want to know, what would you say in just about 2 or 3 minutes to a hurting young lady? Been in church. Every church you seem to go to is always some drama. You got drama in your family. You got drama on your job. You got drama with your kids. You got drama with your husband or drama with your baby daddy. Just whatever y'all know I'm transparent. There's just drama, drama, drama. What would be your word of inspiration to that young lady?
You have to find a place, a safe place within yourself. Because you're never going to be in a place where you're not going to experience drama. You're going to, one thing that I told the members on Sunday is, you may say, well, I went to this church and I got hurt and I experienced church hurt. And then I went to this other church and you're going to keep dealing with it until you stop allowing it to run you. You have to stand flat-footed and face your giant and deal with it head-on. You cannot run from everything. You just have to deal with some stuff and find a peaceful place within. And once you get, you cannot change people, but you can change the way you respond to it. You cannot change a person. You cannot change people, but you can change the way you respond to what you're dealing with. How do I change the way I respond to it? By staying in the presence of God and allowing him to word your mouth, allowing him to guard your heart and to guard your tongue. That's the best advice I can give you because you're never going to go, when you go to work and you meet someone at work and you don't like them and they don't like you, tomorrow you're still going to come and clock in. Why? Because you need a paycheck. You're not going to allow them to run you from your job because you have to take care of your family. So if we look at life like that and stop running from obstacles and find a place within that you can go before God and continue on in the fight.
Wow. Amen. There has got to be a part two, Pastor Nikki, because you said something like that. I mean, we'll go through drama on our job, but we ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
But as soon as we get some drama in the church, we jump in ship quick.
Oh, we're done.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much. I tell you, I prayed before this interview today, and God has just really put his super on my natural. I thank you so much for just being a phenomenal, powerful, transparent, awesome woman of God. It has truly been an honor just to have you on the show. I'm sure Elder Brown, in just, you know, 5 minutes before the show comes to a close, I'm sure that you would concur as well.
Absolutely. I mean, a phenomenal show. She definitely hit several home runners. I can hear right now they're probably going to be calling you for the next home runner because, you know, you really laid, you know, the foundation, which is very important. You know, we preach, we teach, but, you know, if you don't lay a good foundation, you have nothing. And, yeah, I'm so impressed. I know there are a lot of people that are wonderfully blessed by hearing you talk about how the foundation was laid, talk about the training, talk about being, husband giving you that elbow to your elbow saying, baby, go ahead and do it. I see it in you.
Yeah.
I see it in you. And, you know, that's very, very powerful. And I know that someone has gotten encouraged today to know that, wow, you know, if she can do it, I can do it, either man or woman, because, you know, what you lay before us, a man can do it. What you lay before us, a woman can do it. A child can do it. And so I just think that this was a very, very powerful, a powerful home run right off the park. I'm still shaking my head because I know even as a preacher, I'm one of your colleagues in preaching, and I know what you're saying to be true. So that's why I'm like, yeah, she's telling the truth. Yeah, you know,
praise
and truth is
God.
What will set us free.
Wow. Well, Pastor Mickey, take just about 30 seconds or so to tell all those people out there who would like to book you. I'm sure they want to book you or just come to your church, buy your book or whatever, how they may be able to get in contact with you.
Okay, you can visit our website at www.harvestspringsministries.com or www.pastornickyministries.com. And all of the booking information is on either one of those sites, as well as to purchase the book. You can purchase from either one of those sites. And the books are, if you would like to read the reviews, go on the website as well to read the reviews. I've been given people saying they're reading the book in 2 hours, unable to put it down because it's a quick read. I wrote it that way so you wouldn't get bored. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for your love and support. Thank you, Elder Wallace and Pastor Brown, for the opportunity to speak over the airways. I pray that somebody's life was blessed through my obedience.
Awesome. Well, I know my life was truly blessed, and I'm sure Elder Brown as well. We were chatting a little bit. We're going to have to connect with you guys. Has Birth Women on the Battlefield Conference that's coming. We have an awesome lineup, Pastor Reba Timms, Real Talk Kim, Elder Brown. Will be a part of that. So I'm going to connect with you afterwards. Didn't even know I already met you at the white party that Bishop Phelps threw for First Lady Phelps. So we already in the family.
Right,
so
right.
God is
absolutely.
But thank you again for taking the time to be a part of the Living Day by Day show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Well, guys, there you have it. You know Elder Brown and I will always bring you the best of the best of the best. But I think today God has truly put some extra super on our natural. So I'm just excited about it. I really am. Ain't nobody mad, Elder Brown, but the devil.
Right. Right. So. I'm telling you, old smoothfoot joker.
Oh, my God. So thank y'all again, all the listeners out there, for tuning in to the amazing Living Day by Day show. This your girl, Elder Lakeba Wallace. You know I always got some backup in the room, and that's none other than Elder Brown. We call him Preach, Elder Brown, Preach. This has been an amazing show. I want y'all to make sure you step by the website, which is www.livingdaybyday.net. The Living Day by Day magazine, it will be out the first week in January. I'm not going to tell you who is going to be on the cover, but you are going to be shocked who God has placed on the cover of the Living Day by Day magazine. I heard that. If you're out there and you want to be on the cover of the Living Day by Day magazine, we can make it happen. Just hit me up. This is Elder Lakeisha Wallace via Facebook. You can hit me up on any social media site that's out there. We can make it happen. All you have to do is ask. You have not, says you ask not. Again, this your girl, Minister, or excuse me, Elder. I just transitioned. Elder Lakeba Wallace and Elder Brown. Living Day by Day show. Until next time, I always like to close my show out by saying, we love you real good, and you can't do anything about it. So be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.